Hello, 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 and welcome to the Jolly Heretic. Now, the thing is with science is that sometimes a story, or a narrative, an experimental result is so good, is so fascinating, is so compelling that the truth can't be allowed to stand in the way of it. And it's so exciting that it can get all around the world before the truth, as it were, has time to put its socks on. And that is the case, I'm afraid, with something that is known as Mouse Utopia. And this is something that a lot of people have asked me about. A lot of people are very interesting. It was an experiment in the late 60s and early 70s on mice, which seemed to demonstrate that if you take away harsh evolutionary conditions, then eventually the population becomes so mutated that everybody is genetically sick and the entire population stops breeding and dies out. It's a salutary warning for us, isn't it, in our conditions of low mutational load, is taken away. In our conditions of high mutational load, then we all collapse and we all die out. And the problem is that it seems to be basically scientific fraud. And that's what I want to explain to you today. But before I do that, could you please, please, please subscribe? It helps us violently if you do that. Could you subscribe here on YouTube and also subscribe over on my Substack, thejollyheretic.com, where I put all of the spiciest content I dare not put on YouTube and where you can support me if you like what I do for as little as the cost of a pint of beer a month. back to the video. Now, what was this experiment? Well, in 1968... John Calhoun, an American scientist, put four pairs of mice in what he called a mouse utopia. There was a huge amount of space. There was no predation. They were tested to make sure they didn't go in there with any diseases. There was as much food as they could possibly have. So there was loads of spaces to nest in. So it was a paradise for mice, mouse utopia. And then he just watched what happened. And what happened was had eerie parallels with our own industrial revolution and the reduction of harsh child mortality from 50% down to 1%, which was that, first of all, there was a massive explosion in population. And then the growth of the population began to slow down. And then the population plateaued. And then the population started to fall. And as you notice this, interesting things start to be seen. The women start to become more manlike. They start to become more aggressive. They turn on their own young. They expel their own young from the nest too soon. They cannibalize their own young. And they generally become more masculinized. The males become decreasingly masculine, more and more feminine. You get a group of them called the beautiful ones, who don't attempt to find females, who don't attempt to fight, don't attempt to create territories, and who just spend all their time grooming each other and moving from one watering hole to the others. They're known as the beautiful ones. Males that aren't beautiful ones don't seem to know how to approach females because they've been chucked out of the nest too soon, so they don't know how to socialise properly. Gradually, the females stop getting pregnant, and eventually there comes a point where there are no more pregnancies, and eventually the population collapses, and by 1973, all the mice are dead. Now, Calhoun published this in an article in 1973 entitled Death Squared, the Explosive Growth and Demise of a Mouse Colony. And he argued that it was a matter of overpopulation. It was something to do with overpopulation that drove the mice mad, overcrowding, and it stopped them from breeding and they didn't breed. But it turns out that this is complete nonsense. First of all, he called this universe Universe 25. And as far as we can work out from unpublished sources, in other mouse universes, there was no complete collapse of the colony. The colony collapsed down in population, yes, but then it somehow carried on. It somehow continued. And this interesting information doesn't appear to have been published, or at least it's not been published clearly. So what's called mutational meltdown, the complete destruction of the colony, didn't happen. Secondly, it's not true that it was overcrowded. There was plenty of room in these colonies, even when it was at peak population. So whatever it was that caused the problem, it wasn't overcrowding. Thirdly, there seems to have been a different colony that he did experiments on in 1962, where he did a similar experiment and there was no mutational meltdown. The population collapsed down, but then it somehow carried on. Fourthly, it's not clear that he controlled for disease. This is interesting. So he goes in there and he says, oh yeah, they haven't got any diseases, but could he be sure of that? Could he be absolutely sure of that? Seemingly not. And it may be that the reason why the other 24 mouse universes weren't reported is because they weren't as interesting and there was no mutational meltdown there, but there was mutational meltdown here because there was some disease that he didn't deal with. And he said he wouldn't deal with it because, oh, it would interfere with the colony. Well, then it's a problematic result, isn't it? But otherwise there were colonies where, from unpublished sources that indicate there was not much in the way of behavioural sync. You didn't get the beautiful ones. You got strange behaviours like them only grooming their heads or whatever. But you didn't actually manifest the beautiful ones. Then there are other experiments by other people that have been done with mice. And it's interesting, and you find that, yeah, there are small aberrations in behaviour, but there's no mutational meltdown. And there are, evolution carries on, which is what you'd expect. If there are no evolutionary pressures, then you would expect some genetic propensity to, let's say, want to have lots of children. Some propensity that's already there, but wasn't adaptive in a normal environment, to suddenly become adaptive. That's how evolution works. If you could have a gene, and if you in your environment that you're in, it doesn't really help, but if you go to a new environment, then it suddenly helps, and then it spreads. Well, this is what's happened. And so you could therefore find that there were changes happening in these experiments. Colours were changing and things like that. So there was evolution that was happening, even under conditions of extremely weak Darwinian selection, which is showing you that under those weaker conditions, certain genetic propensities that weren't previously adaptive, adaptive will become adaptive and will spread throughout the population, which is what evolution would predict. And so the other experiments that we have don't replicate it, and it seems that his other 24 experiments didn't replicate it, and that's why he didn't publish them. And so, really, it's a kind of scientific fraud. Also, he started with only 4 breeding pairs. Well, that's not replicating reality. I mean, there could have been, these are laboratory mice. There could have been inbreeding. What he should have done is start with wild mice and then see what happens. And there wouldn't have been the possibility of inbreeding and consequent diseases that could have been the reason for the problem with that particular universe. So I'm calling fraud on Mouse Utopia. And there's a very interesting article you'll find online, anonymously written, called Does Mouse Utopia Exist?, which goes into more detail than I have done. But I'm calling fraud on Mouse Utopia. It's not how it works in real life. You do not get mutational meltdown. If you take away harsh Darwinian conditions, you don't get mutational meltdown. What you get is certain genetic propensities that weren't previously as adaptive coming to dominate the population. And it may be that what those propensities are in our current situation are low IQ on the one hand, because that is not, high IQ is being selected against, and also within IQ, high IQ, religiousness and conservatism, because that's what predicts having children. And they weren't previously as adaptive. They were adaptive, but they weren't previously as adaptive as they are now. Now they are very strongly adaptive, because if you don't have those propensities, then you have no desire to have children. Essentially, it's a genetic desire to have children that is now being selected for, and that wasn't necessarily previously the case, because we were in a situation of harsh of mortality salience in which an instinct to have children was induced in people. Take that away, and you have to have a genetic desire to have children, to want to have children, and so you carry on somehow. And it would have been the same. There would have been something with the mice that would have been the same. So, as I say, I call fraud on Mouse Utopia. There is no Mouse Utopia. We don't have to worry about mutational meltdown.
Just a quick interruption. Please stop for a second and ask yourself this. Is there someone you could easily share this video with? Someone you know will agree because their moral values align with what I'm saying? Well, you should definitely go ahead and do so then. On the other hand, can you think of someone who would definitely not agree, who would just be angry that you would share such a nasty, racist, mean, evil video with them? Most likely you know both types of people, and the reason why these two people would react so differently to this video is because of their moral foundations. According to the moral foundation theory, conservative values rest on 5 dimensions, while liberals only have 2. In other words, they can't relate to conservative or right-wing statements, they can't even understand them. The moral foundations theory was presented by Jonathan Haidt in his book, The Righteous Mind. He showed that the moral conditions of politics are naturally evolutionary. This means that liberal attitudes also have an evolutionary benefit, even if we may find this difficult to imagine. If you want to get a very detailed summary of the main arguments from the righteous mind and understand what evolutionary function both conservative and liberal views have, you can do so at Liegeant.com. There you will find a short version of the most important core arguments from the book. In addition to the righteous mind, there are also shorts on many other base titles. You won't find most of them on other platforms. You can easily listen to titles in under 25 minutes. This means you can absorb knowledge of a whole book in under half an hour every day. So try it now. Go to Liegeant.com now and sign up with my promo code TJH to get 10% off.
Are you ready for the future of the West?